I can't tell you preachers what a blessing. I don't get to hear a lot of preaching sometimes, you know, being a pastor. But it's good to come aside like this and hear wonderful, wonderful messages. And I appreciate that good message on Job. And I'm just telling you, it was wonderful. And the Lord has blessed my heart. And I'm glad I got to hear. I met some of you a long, long time ago. Got to hear some of you today. And I do appreciate so much. And Brother Richardson, we love you. And we appreciate this church and appreciate how God's used you here through the years. And I know it's a double responsibility when you got a church and the school like he has, and not many people can handle that, and it's a difficult thing, but thank God. And what a blessing to be with y'all, Brother Rochester. We love the Rochesters, and I tell you, I believe JB, you could be dunking a ball if you had them high heel shoes on like them girls have. They got them, you know. I told my granddaughter, I said, man, you're growing. And she came up to me and she said, put her foot around sideways. And it's about that high, you know, big old stack and everything. But it's been a blessing. This church, I always enjoy coming. I talked to both my brothers. I said, now, y'all are coming next year. I got to hog tie you. And both of them need this. Steve's just really discouraged. And I know he's going through a tough time. Dave's not pastoring. Neither one's pastoring right now. And but this would be a great blessing to both of them, and it's been a blessing to me. Now, I know it's going to send us back to our churches, encourage and help. Our church at New River Baptist, I start saying New River Baptist Temple, Gunning Baptist Church, I was up in Virginia, and we put together John and Romans, and we put together millions of different languages, 50-something languages. We just done a new language, never has, in fact, they hadn't had any. And they have, I think, First Bible put the first ones together in John and Romans. And so we are doing that. And we've probably almost done a million this year of John and Romans in our church. When I say our church, we've got about 20 other churches. We're a satellite church, and we have churches we feed all the way up to Chesapeake, all the way way down into North Carolina. And we get a truckload, trailer load of scriptures from up at Milford. And we put them together, we cut them, we collate them. My son could come to your church. If you had a mission project, he just was doing that. But he could come to your church. He's got the equipment, set it up, staplers and everything, and you could do it. He's at a military church right now in Greenville, North Carolina, and they're doing a project right there right now. The children in the Christian school put together 8,000 of them, and he's doing, I think, about 20 more thousand there. He was just up in Chesapeake. He was going up the road. He had it loaded too much. He was going to deliver Brother Coffee some scriptures there in Yorktown. And the trailer was so overloaded with that cutter on it and everything on there. And about four pallets of scriptures that the wheel just came off. I mean, the wheel came off. The thing came off. We had another trailer. And you just about got to strap it up. You know what I'm talking about. You just strap it up to try to keep it together. Well, one of our other men that works with the seed line, Brother Kevin Field, he met Larry. They swapped scriptures off, got the tire fixed and everything. Went up there, and Brother Coffey said, let me ask you, what would a trailer cost, Brother Larry? He said, well, I don't know. You know, we need a heavy duty, that axle and everything. And he said, well, what would two cost? Because both of them coming just about had it. And so Sunday night, Larry said, glory. I said, what, son? He said, God just gave us $12,000. Brother Coffee called him and said, you buy those two trailers. He said, not only that, he took me on for $100 a month. He said, it's good to break down for Jesus. Amen. But we travel all over the place, and we send scriptures. We send them down to the border, and of course they go across there. And we send them around the world, and our church is... We bought a 10,000 square foot building just to put scriptures, and we bought another building about, probably 6,000 square feet. And we bought this, and it's mainly our scripture ministry, although we have activities in there and other things. But we put it together, and every week we have our seniors come in, some of our men who work shift work, and they work on scriptures. And then, of course, we go out. Now, down at Calvary Baptist Church in right outside of Winston-Salem, our King, North Carolina, Brother Kevin Brohill, they put together 200,000. They do that in about 5 days. And they got a big Bible college there. They've got a Christian school there, several hundred. And so they put together 200,000. And they do that, and then they dedicate, bring them in, put them on the altar, and send them out to the missionaries, wherever they're going. And so that's a big, big project. And we take our 29 staplers, our cutter, and then Milford brings a cutter, or maybe two, and other staplers. There's probably 100 people stapling scriptures. And there's probably, in that school, the old church there, in their auditoriums where they put it together. It's wonderful just to go in there and watch our people put their hands on and have fingerprints where they'll never have footprints. And know that somebody is going to get a copy that's never had it. I saw a lady, you know where you turn off the road up here? We were in the village about 5,000. We had coloring books, crayons, candy, and we had a coloring book that with crayons in it from the color had the plan of salvation in Spanish. We're in Monterey, Mexico, and also had a little gospel track in it. And they came out, all of the people would come just as soon. And this lady walked. I saw her walking, and I kept watching, and she kept coming. And I guess she walked probably 2 or maybe miles or more, maybe 3 miles. And she came up there, and she said, She went over and she sat down. She ate her piece of candy. She got her crayons out, and she started coloring that Spanish book there that had the plan of salvation. People all over the place reading. And, of course, we started the church in that village. Started the church down in Enotepe in a plastic village where they just pulled plastic around. It's almost on a dump there. And we went in there and started the church and helped her. The guy who was interpreting for me, I shared it on my Facebook. If you saw a little bitty fella, looks like I'm a giant compared to him. He was killed by the Sandinista just about 2 months ago, maybe almost 3 months ago, Brother Luis, and they killed him because he spoke out against the government. And I tell you, folks, the gospel needs to be got out. And if your church would be interested, we'd love to help you. And all we ask you to do is help pay for the scriptures and getting them to you, and Larry will come, set it up. Your people can have a hands-on ministry. You can do something personally for you, or you can do something for your missionaries. And he's in the military. He said in several military churches, he does that down also in Florida. And so, and they love it. They just enjoy it so much. And what a blessing it is. And we're in that. We don't charge the missionary anything. We believe the sower needs the seed. And you go into a village and you're the only one's got a Bible. Those people in that village need a Bible. And John and Romans, the two greatest books of the Bible. And we're getting where we can do a New Testament and do perfect binding. But right now we don't have that. But we have been doing, like I say, millions of them. So I just share that with you. If we'd be a help to you, we'd love to do that. I want you to take your Bible, turn tonight to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And brother, thank you so much, Brother Richardson. But thank you, ladies. Wasn't that wonderful, the meals, the food? I'm like Brother Rochester. I think if I stayed around here more, I'd just be so big. I don't know if I could. I'd waddle in and walk in and waddle out probably. But I do appreciate, and we appreciate all the ministries and all you dear preachers. God bless you. If you're ever up around East Tennessee, I pastor around the Kingsport, Johnson City, and in the Bristol area. And we've been there right off Interstate 81 at exit 66. 66 books in the Bible. That's where we are, right there, off of exit 66, off Interstate 81. If you go south, you're going to Knoxville. If you go the other way, you're headed up toward Bristol, Virginia, and up that way. So it's a main thoroughfare through there, and God has placed us there. We praise the Lord for his goodness and all that he's done. Let's stand. I'll give you just a chance to stand. I don't usually have you stand to read the scriptures, but if you feel like it, you can. Don't feel like you have to. We've been seated for a while, and maybe this will be a help to us. And I'll try to share these things quickly tonight that God's laid upon our heart. I'm just, again, delighted. We've had so much preaching. We go home now, sing and preach and everything, and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore? Now, he always points back to somewhere of what's already been said. Seeing we're We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are you partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. How many can say amen to that? And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, did you see that? Our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, and that'd be a good place, amen, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up hands and lift up the hands and which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest they which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail in the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and defile, and thereby many be defiled. Father, I thank you for this week. It's been a blessing to my heart. Lord, I've looked forward to coming. I've enjoyed so much being around. Renew old acquaintance and see the precious people that I knew 30-something years ago when I come here the first time to Madisonville. And Lord, to just meet new people, new preachers, and people that are in the same way. We're in the same journey, going, Lord, serving God, trying to lift up the bloodstained banner, trying to preach the gospel and point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for reaching down. Lord, I wasn't looking for you. Thank God, I'm glad you're looking for me. And I'm glad you reached down further than I could reach up. And I'm glad you found me. I didn't find you. I wasn't looking for you. But God, I'm glad you found me. And I pray you'll bless tonight. Help these dear men of God, their churches. Lord, send us back and charged up, Lord, encourage and help to do the work of God. And Lord, to preach the word and take a stand for what's right. God, I've been encouraged and helped, and I cannot thank you enough. I pray you'll bless tonight. All you do for us, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight, some possibilities in the life of the believer. And I believe we see them here, some possibilities in the life of a believer. Now, every book of the Bible has a theme. You can see that, and it's a message it wants to convey. And God doesn't here tell us the human author of this book of Hebrews. Here's a key word that you run across when you look at this book, and you know that. One of them, the word better and the word greater. But that word better is there. I want you to go back to the first part of the, just turn to chapter 1, and you'll see something here. And first of all, we have a better signature. And I want you to notice who signed this. In chapter number 1, look at verse number 1. And what's the first word? God. And so here we have a better signature. Do you notice that? It's not John, it's not Paul. And it's not, and I kind of believe that Paul did write it. But here God gives us a signature on it there. And God loves, listen, the fathers. And God loves those. And here he just puts a,
his pen right here and said, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And so we see it had a better Savior, and we have a better Savior. And you'll see that about the Lord Jesus. And it tells us there, chapter 10 is such a wonderful chapter in the book of Hebrews. But not only a better signature and a better Savior, but we have a better sacrifice. Aren't you glad you don't have to come and bring the sacrifice in the chapter number 10? You'll find that sacrifice could not take away sin, and it couldn't help the conscience there, because they're going to come continually and bring another sacrifice. So it also a better sacrifice. And then there's a better security. And thank God for the security we have in the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad we have this security in Christ. I'm in Him. He's in me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't get me out. And Jesus Christ, who, listen, the one who gave Himself for me, and listen, and also gives Himself to me that He might live His life through me. And that's because I'm in Him and He's in me. And I love that song, He Knows My Name. We have a better sanctuary. And I'll tell you right now, thank God we do. We don't have to go. We can go into the Holy of Holies. We can come to God's house, and we can meet with God's people. And then we have a better spokesman, amen? And then we have also a better standing. And when you look at these wonderful truths there, it's better to be a Christian than anything I ever had back there. I wouldn't go back to that kind of lifestyle for anything. I've got something better in Christ. It's greater, it's better, thank God, that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that you'd ever known. Now, when you look at this chapter, you'll find that in the first 10 chapters, you'll see it magnify the majesty and ministry of the Lord Jesus. It just magnifies in the first 10 chapters the ministry and the majesty of the Lord Jesus. In the last three chapters, you'll find there it talks about the ministry of the saints and marvelous grace. In fact, when you come to chapter 11, it's going to talk about faith. Chapter 12 is going to talk about hope. Chapter 13 is going to talk about love. And those chapters, just we see that. Now, God shows us here in this 12th chapter, and He tells us there that there's a race set before us. That don't mean I'm running the race against you, brother. And you're running the race against me. That's not what He's saying here. God says, in fact, it's a matter of life. God has set a race before you, and you'll give account to how you run that race when you stand before God. Not comparing me with you or you with me, but there's a race to be run. Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear lest lest a promise being left of us entering into the rest, you should come short of it. So the word race here means a way of life. And thank God for that. And I want to tell you right now, God's already planned some things for me, predestinated some things for me. When you say that word predestinate, that's never to a sinner. Don't let anybody tell you in chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians, it talks about election and foreknowledge, predestinate. That has nothing to do with the sinner. That has everything. Now, who's he writing to? The saints. Where were they in Colossians? What, these saints that were in Christ Jesus. Us. Get that. And boy, they people that, they'll say, now these election, I've been running into these hyper-Calvinists. I tell you what, I have never seen anything spring up like it has in our air. And maybe where you're at too. And I appreciate that message you shared this morning, brother. And I'm telling you right now, we got to stand up. We can't let that come in. In our church, we can't let that message come. I'm going to tell you right now, do you know what? The next pastor that comes to this church, you better watch what you call. You better know where that man stands. You better check things out. And if you don't, I won't get into it, but you'll be in a mess, I promise you. But we find here God allows us sometimes we have to hurt to help. And God works some things. And then Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible said He's our forerunner. He's our pioneer. He's the one who goes ahead for us. And I want to tell you, He's already went up there. He's come down here. He's went back up there. He knows the way. And one day He's coming back, and He's going to take us right up through there. I want you to see these seven possibilities in the Word of God. First of all, in verse number 3, mark it down. there's a possibility to faint. Look what he says in verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So there's a possibility. Luke 18:1 says this, and he spake unto them, a parable unto them, and said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And so it's never God's will for us to faint. Now in Galatians 6:9, it said, let us not be weary in well doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now there's one meaning for the word faint. There's more than just one, but it means to lose heart. It also, there's a Greek word. And you look it up and you get the etymology of the word. You look it up and you'll see, you know what it means? A slack bowstring. You know what God is saying? There are a lot of Christians who, it just like this banjo. It sounded so, but if it didn't have any strings on it. And that's what he's saying. A slack bowstring can't feel the deer, can't take it down. Can't feel it. And so what he's saying is, it belongs to you, but it's not usable. You know, there's so many people in the church have fainted, and they're not usable. God wants to use them, but God can't use them because they won't get usable. What if everybody in our church knew their spiritual gift and was exercising it? I mean, brother, what if everybody was in that church, and I look around here and I see some people in this church. They wouldn't be a church here if it wasn't for them. They stay by the stuff. Brother, I'm telling you, through the years and everything, Brother Jay, I appreciate you. Brother Lane, I appreciate you. God bless you. And these other folks, I know there's several others and that have stayed by the stuff, and I'm telling you what, they have been here. They haven't fainted. So it's possible to faint and not to be usable. You know, there's some people just come in the membership, but you don't see any maturity in them, and you don't see no ministry out of them. And I wonder, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody come into the membership would tithe? Everybody come to the membership knew their spiritual gift. Everybody come to the membership would mature and minister. You know what's wrong? We've got a lot of folks in the church, and the reason why there's no ministry, there's no maturity. You don't run from first base to third base. And that some people have never grown up, and you know what? Hebrews chapter number 5 talks about that and some problems of people who, but oh, get in there and discover your gift. Do what God would have you to do and work and labor in the church. It's possible to faint. And many have suffered attacks of Satan. Things have happened in their life. And we know that. And I think about sometimes, salvation is not vaccination against suffering. Lady said, preacher, I come to church. I sing in the choir. I love God. You know I love God. She said, what's happening in my life? Sickness. Child just about died. Daughter got in trouble, put in jail. Other things happened. She got sick. Her dad got sick. And there's all kinds of problems going on. Listen, salvation is not vaccinated. Just because you're saved, I don't mean you're not going to have suffering. Oh, I'm going to tell you what. If Jesus said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have some trouble. I thought about Bill and Kathy Rice. They were just thanking God. They're going to have a little girl. And that little girl's going to name Betty. They're going to name it Betty. And all of a sudden they talk to Betty. And Betty, when she's looking at them, but all of a sudden she's over looking the other way. She can't hear what they're saying. God, let a little deaf girl be born in that home. You know why God let a little deaf girl be born in that home? Because he wanted the largest. Listen to me. He wanted the largest. Listen, deaf speaking ministry in the world. The thousands, maybe even millions. I don't know how many people have been saved that could not hear because of little Betty. I don't know if you know or not. I grew up in Chattanooga as a bus kid at Highland Park Baptist Church. Rode on that bus. They'd come pick me up. My daddy lived in the housing project. Dysfunctional family, broken home, broken heart, broken hope, the whole thing. But I want to tell you what, there's a place out there, Camp Joy. And you know how they got that name, Camp Joy? Because he had a little girl that died. And her name was Joy. But if it had been no death to Joy, there had been no camp out there. There'd never been camp. How many evangelists? How many preachers? How many missionaries? How many men serving God today and their children and grandchildren because of Camp Joy? It never would have happened. You'd have never heard that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," if that ship hadn't wrecked. You'd have never heard that great song. I'm telling you there, no one ever cared for me like Jesus if that man hadn't went through the sorrow. I went up to the hospital, and there's a man, his family, all they persecuted him. He's a brilliant man, but to look at him, you'd think he was a little bit, I mean, he was just absolute genius. And I saw him, he's sitting in there, and he's just hanging down, everything. I just stuck my head around, looked in that room, and I said, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus." He said, "No, not one. No, not one." And I went by the nurse's station. They're still shouting. They're still down there praising God. That nurse said, "Thank you." I'm going to tell you, there are people hurting. There are people just need somebody to love them, somebody to help them, somebody to bear their burden, somebody to cry with them. Oh, somebody, sometime. Listen, just a phone call. I called a lady, and she hadn't come to church. She hadn't been in church because she had melanoma. And the melanoma has gone to her liver, to her lungs, to her bone. Spots all over. And Miss Pat hadn't been able to come. And so the other day, I just sat in there. Now, I know God don't speak audibly. Sometimes he does speak a lot louder than that, though, if you know what I mean. And I was sitting there, and seemed like God said, "Call Miss Pat." And said, "Call Miss Pat, and I don't have a phone. You do. You call her." So I did. I called her. I told her. I said, "Miss Pat," I said, "God told me to call you." She said, "Who?" I said, "God." She said, "Well, that's all right then." And I prayed with her. You know what? She came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. She came to church Monday and Tuesday. I don't think she got back on Wednesday as we was having our revival. And I'm going to tell you, God helped her. And Brenda said, "Honey, she is going up and down with her little old cart, going up and down and shaking hands and seeing people." I'm going to tell you what, you never know, just sometimes to go and bear somebody and love on them, encourage them. I love this verse. I challenge you to memorize this verse. Psalms 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord would give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Now get this. Now, preachers, this is a preacher right here. He's a sun from a dark time. He's a shield from a dangerous time. And he said he'll give grace and glory. And then he shoves goodness right in the middle. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, I'm telling you right now, he's a son, he's a shield. He's a good God. He's going to take care of you. He's going to be with you. He's going to help you. When you fall, he's going to be there to help pick you up. But I want to be there, don't you? I want to help those who hurt. Here's the second thing, verse number 5. Not only a possibility to faint, but here's the second thing. There's a possibility to forget. Look at verse 5. "And ye have forgotten." Some of us, I think, have forgot where God brought us from. Oh, you remember when you got saved, you just cried? You know why you just cried? You'd have to bring 2 handkerchiefs, one to blow your nose on, the other to wipe your tears. And you're just so excited about the things of God. Have we forgotten? He said here in verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." It's possible to forget. You know what? You can get slack. You can get carnal. Turn over to 2 Peter just a minute. Just mark your place there. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And if these 7 things are not added, here's salvation with a plus. He said, add to your faith these 7. You'll never really ever love, serve, and know God until them 7 things have been added to your faith. And if you don't, I'm going to show you what could happen. Look what he says in verse number 5. Now, you've been made a partaker in verse number 4. You've got a new nature. You've escaped the corruption that's in the world. He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness and charity. He said, now watch this. Don't you miss this. For if these things, you see that? Be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be. You won't be barren. You won't be barren. You will be fruitful. You know what? There's people in the church, they forgot God saved them. When you make a statement like that, somebody, oh no, if you ever get saved, you won't forget it. Well, you better look at that. You better look at that next verse. You better look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, mark that. Verse number 8, these things. Verse number 9, these things. These 7 things that if you've not added them to, you're saved. You're by grace to faith. You're going to heaven. But add these things to your faith or you'll never be what God wants you to be. He said, now if these things be, he that lacketh these things is blind. Barren, blind. And you know what? When you think about the blemish in the lives of many, many Christians, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar, and he's forgotten. He's forgotten. What did he forget? That he was purged from his old sins. Look down at verse number 10. See, but if you do these things. Look down, if you will, at verse number 12. These things, right in the middle. He talks about establishing, rooted, grounded. And then he comes down in verse number 15. Again, these things, keep them always in remembrance. You know, I think a lot of people, the possibility to forget. And you know what? It's sad. And there's some people have doubts. There's some people that, but what if I didn't really get saved? I asked Jesus Christ come my heart. Listen, Titus 1:2. If you prayed, you asked the Lord Jesus, you meant it by faith. You knew you was a sinner. The Holy Spirit convicted you of your sins. Titus 1:2 said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And I don't try to assure anybody, by the way, I can't assure them. The Holy Spirit, his spirit bears witness my spirit that I am a child of God. And I thank God for that. You know what I thought about? Israel forgot. I want to give you some things. It's kind of another message. I'll run through it real quick. God gave Israel a leader. And you know what they did for 400 years? God gave, they just loved Moses. They shouted with him and praised God. But you know what? It wasn't long. They were ready to pick up stones. You come in there and preach that honeymoon sermon, you know, when you first come to church, but it sometime later, they're ready to pick up stones. Oh, God gave them a leader. And they sang with him. They shouted with him. But they envied him. Then God gave them light. When there was no light, listen, over in Goshen, there's light. Folk, we're not in the dark. We're not the children of the night. We're the children of the light. We're children of the day. We don't walk. We don't live in the night. Thank God. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were, but now, thank God, he brought me out. I don't know why anybody wants to go back to the dark and sin and ungodliness when they've been saved. And I know we fail and falter and we do sin. But not only God give them a light and God give them a leader, God give them a lamb. One thing that's going to get you out of Egypt that night, and if you notice in chapter 12, there was a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. In the New Testament, it's a Savior, the Savior, and your Savior. And I'm telling you right now, a lamb would have been like putting blood on the basin. And then the lamb would be like putting it, you know, cutting its throat and maybe putting blood in a basin or tying a lamb. A lamb would be like tying it to the door. The lamb would be like cutting. I just remodeled this house. I'm not going to put that blood on. But if he's your lamb, that blood must be applied. You're not going to go to heaven without the blood applied. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Have you ever thought about what God had to do to save you? Justification, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, adoption, glorification, sanctification, and all those things. Do you know justification and forgiveness, remission, it's not enough. A slave could be justified and have remission, but he's still a slave. Took the blood to set him free. It took the blood to set me free. Oh, thank God for a leader, a light, a lamb. And then God gave them a land. He said, now you go in and possess it. But you know what they did? They went over there and they began to do the very thing God said. Now if you do, worship those other gods and put them before me, he said, I'll judge you. And God did. God gave them a law. You know what they did? They broke it. He gave them a law. And they broke that law and disobeyed that law. God gave them a love. They had an eternal, God gave them eternal love. He loved them with everlasting love. Then God gave them the Lord Jesus, and they crucified him. And God gave them a last chance with Stephen. I'm telling you, listen, they sinned against the Father, and then they sinned against the Son, but in Stephen they sinned against the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, he said, it's not, you've resisted the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you there, you'll find. My friend, you can forget God's correction as children. And by the way, children means little born ones here. And the word son there, it means a mature young man. Now notice the word despise. It means to think little or small of. Sometimes the attitude of a believer is whom God has to chasten. They kind of get a little upset, angry at God. But I'm going to tell you what, God loves you. God will chasten you. Is anybody here you've been saved, but you've never been chastened? Anybody? So we've all been spanked, haven't we? I'm going to tell you what, God will wear you out because he loves you. Now, I said that one time a guy said, no, God won't. Well, God don't. In fact, I said it, and he denied it right after. It's his pulpit. It wasn't mine. I just tell him how God, when I played pro ball, how God had to get me flat on my back to get me, get my attention, and hurt in college and got hurt again when I tried out when I was with the Knicks, and then I went, could have gone with the Bulls, but God didn't want me playing ball. He wanted me preaching the Bible. God had another place for me and a plan for me. But I want you to see another thing. There's a possibility to become feeble. Look at verse 12. Verse number 12. And look what he says here in the 12th verse. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now that word feeble, it's the word dislocated. That's what it means. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? And I don't mean folks physically now. I'm talking about spiritually. They're handicapped. They've become feeble, dislocated. And here it's where something is out of place and you're not in the place in the service of God. This is where God wants you to be, but you're not in that place. And you said you've become feeble. I wonder if we've got any feeble people here tonight. Now, I'm not talking about physical. I wonder if we got anybody here tonight for God. Anybody here's fainted? And I'll tell you, he goes on there. That word feeble, the word lift up means dislocated. I may have told you wrong. The word lift up means dislocated. The word feeble means paralytic, paralyzed. And they came. My little granddaughter, she can't hardly do anything. Her little old hand, she had a bleed on the brain when she was just a little, when she was born. And her lungs were so underdeveloped, air was coming through. And when she was down there in Greenville, North Carolina, while my son was in the Air Force Base there at, what's the Air Force Base right there, near there? Seymour Johnson. And so she was there in the neonatal care unit. And every now and then, you know, she said to me, Paul, do you love a little paralytic, crippled granddaughter? Well, when she said that, I said, honey, I kissed her hand. I said, I love you. You don't know how much Daddy, Papa loves you. And she saw, and she didn't walk till she's 7 years old. And now she's got to walk on a walker. But she would hop around like a little bunny. And just hop around. And she could really hop. And you know, and I've seen her a lot of times. I said, one of these days, honey, you're not going to have that hand like that. One of these days that crippled. One of these days that paralytic. One of them days that's one's lame. It ain't going to be that way. No wonder John was, when God said, come here, John. I've got something to show you. You've seen so much misery. You've seen so much horror and terrible thing. John, look here. I've got a big white handkerchief. God's going to wipe them tears from his eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. Oh, let's go. Thank God. Can you imagine not have to have another funeral, not have to go to another hospital. What a day that's going to be. Now look at verse 13. He said, make straight. And only the great physician can do that. Only he's the only one that can straighten out that which has become feeble and paralytic. That which has come dislocated. I fell one day and I dislocated my shoulder. And it was out. And I got in there and they got a couple of sheets and a couple of doctors and interns on this side. And they'd give me a shot. He took this arm. Man, I was just about to scream. And all of a sudden when that thing rolled back in there and came back in, I went, oh, I thought I was going to pass out. I said, oh, listen, when God can put that back in place that's dislocated, that is feeble and fainted and forgot what God has done, and God gets you back, you're going to say, hallelujah. Thank God. Then I want you to see verse 14. There's a possibility to follow peace with all men. You can get along with folks, you know that. You can love people. You can pray for people. You can encourage them. Look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man can see the Lord. Now the word follow there is mimic. And I know I can't be like Jesus. That is that I can't live the Christian life. You can't either. Only a person's ever lived the Christian life is Jesus. You've never lived it. You can't live it. But I'll tell you one who can live it. He wants to live it. This one who gave himself for you, wants to give himself to you and live his life through you. And I promise you, he'll do that. But oh, he wants me to be like. You know, I can't be exactly like. If you saw my daddy, if you knew my daddy, he had big old hands. I got big hands. My daddy had bigger hands than I've got. I could palm a ball. That's what helped me. I could take that thing off the floor and this white boy could jump. Can I brag a little bit? I'll brag on Jesus. Was playing this all-black school. I was eating them five black guys alive. I mean, I was having one of the best games ever in my life. And so the coach called timeout, and I run by the bench. He said, keep five black guy boys, guard one white man. And one of them boys said, coach, he in orbit. And I'll tell you, I love to play that game. I just wanted to get that ball off that backboard. I'd tear your head off. Dallas Cowboys want me to come. I could have went and tried out with the Dallas Cowboys. I wasn't no football player. I didn't have a clue. But I'm telling you right now, God wants us to serve him with all of our heart, love him. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God and dear children. If you saw my daddy, my wife will say, you're just like your daddy. And I know I have a lot of his traits, and some of them ain't good. And you know what? There's a thing about you can't be that. Your boy can't be. You got a son? Two daughters. You got a son. My son can't be exactly like me, but he can be enough like me that you can know that's my son. And that's what, you know what? That's your boy. You know why? He can't be exactly. But I won't tell you what. He can be enough like. And I ought to be able to be enough like. Somebody said, you're a Christian, aren't you? You know why? They know by our character, by our demeanor, by our integrity and our honesty. It's possible to faint. It's possible to forget. It's possible to be feeble. It's possible to follow peace with all men. And here's number 5. It's possible to fail in the grace of God. Look at verse 15. Oh, has your children ever brought a failing report card home? Have you ever brought a spiritual report card home that God had to fail you? You say, where's that in the Bible? Hebrews 11:3. The elders obtained a good report. Can I put a card on that? How's your report card? We get on to them because what you doing with a C? Here's a D in math. You what? Boy, you rake them over the coals. You ground them. You go to your room. I wonder about our spiritual report card. And he says here in verse 15, look at it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail in the grace of God. Fail in the grace of God. Oh, for somebody to fail in the grace of God. And here, and when he do, bitterness. Let all, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. Now, there's a possibility to fail
And there's a possibility for us not to have a good. He says diligently. You see that? It means all out effort. It means that you're striving to do your very best. Now, notice here. God cut the tree down, but the root's still there. See, when you got saved, listen, one became two. When you got married, two become one. But here, there's an old man. One guy looked at the other and said, Patty, tell me, and there was a turtle there and had his head cut off, but the turtle's still just going around. Head laying over here and the turtle just going around. So old Patty looked over and he said, come here. Come here, Joe. He brought him over and he said, is that turtle dead or is he alive? He said, he's dead. His head's off right there. But said, he's still going around. They said, hey, Bill, come here. He said, tell me, is that turtle dead or is he alive? We're going to let you make the decision. I think he's dead. He thinks he's alive. That old boy pretty sharp. He said, well, he's dead, but he don't know it. Some Christians are dead, but they don't know it. Hey, we died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. We ascended with him. We sat down with him. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to see in verses 16 and 17, it's possible to forfeit your rewards. I didn't read those verses, but look at verse 6. Lest there be any fornicator and profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And here it's possible to forfeit. 2 John verse 8. Now I know somebody says, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, is your sin going to affect your works? I think definitely it is. But I'll tell you what, you're going to be, I think, sin will affect your rewards, I should say. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. But I'm one thing about it. 2 John, what is it, verse 8? Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but you might receive a full. You going to get a full reward? Part reward? I want a full reward, don't you? Let me give you this last thing. There is the possibility to forge on by faith. Look at verse 2. Chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's possible to forge on. It's possible to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. It's possible when all these other things are pulling you and the world, the flesh, the devil, and everything else is pulling at you and trying to pull you away and everything, it's possible to keep your eyes on Jesus and forge on by faith and finish the race that God has set before you. Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, you've read it. Pilgrim said, I come to right there, and he said, when I got there a little closer, I saw lions. And he said, for my heart feared. And he said, I stopped. And he said, for three reasons I went on. He said, number one, he said, I looked, and he said, I saw when I looked there, as I looked at those lions were chained. And he said another thing, he said, I saw someone out there at the other end. He said, I kept hearing him say, come on, Pilgrim. It's okay, come on. He said, the lions were chained. He said, I heard a voice of someone saying, don't be afraid, Pilgrim, come on. And he said, for another reason. He said, I saw footprints. He said, somebody had gone before me. What about old Brother Roloff? We was talking about Dr. Seidler today. What about Brother Oliver Green? What about some of these dear men of God that have fought? And some of these pastors, we wouldn't even, if you called her name, I called her name, you wouldn't know them. Has been out somewhere in a little country church, but they've left a footprint. I'm going to tell you, they've been faithful to God. They've forged on by faith. Don't faint. Don't forget. Listen, don't fail in the grace of God. Don't
be feeble and become where you can't be used and be a just like a slack bowstring where you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you're of no value whatsoever to the Lord. May God touch our hearts and may God help us to continue on. You know, I was just thinking about our race and how close we are to the end. Who was it preached today? And I mean, two or three preachers touched on this. You know that. How close we are to the end. We may not get back here next year. And I'm going to tell you what, may God help us. Could I encourage you? And I know there's a lot of people here, not just matter here at Grace Baptist, just the church here, but there's a lot of churches represented here. And could I encourage you, listen, forge on, just by faith, go on. They sang about it tonight. Just go on. I'm telling you right now. And I thought about the race that God has set up before us. May God help us. As I travel through the desert, storms beset us by the way, Jesus will forsake me never. It is better, Father owns, help me, still go, Father, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. It is better, Father. You believe that? Why don't you consecrate, dedicate yourself right now to God right where you just make that an altar. God in heaven, Lord, thank you for letting me come. I've been so blessed, Lord. I've benefited this week. I don't know, maybe I need it more. I did last year, but I've been so helped, God. I wish I could hug every preacher's neck and tell him what he's meant to me. The Rochesters, God, what they've meant to me. Lord, this church, what they've meant to me. Brother Richardson, God, what he's meant to me. What a friend he's been. Lord, so many. I think about some have done gone on. Some pastors that were here 30 years ago. Some of them have graduated and gone home. God, would you help us to stay by the stuff? Would you help us to forge on by faith? God, I don't want to defile. That word means poison. I don't want to poison others. Some parents have poisoned their children and some families have poisoned, they've literally poisoned other families in the church because they got their feelings hurt. Somebody didn't get to sing. Some little silly, carnal thing has got somebody. I'll just hold my ties back. I'll just let other people know how I feel about this. God, would you help them right now? Right where, oh God, there's an altar up here. They may just get on their face before God and do business with you, but they're, may just make an altar right there. Lord, I don't want to faint. Lord, I don't, because when a person faints, it always not only takes him out, it takes somebody else out. And I wonder, have you fainted? Have you become feeble? Have you forgot? Have you forgot? Oh, it used to touch your heart, the songs of Zion. Used to raise your hand. Used to have tears run down your face. Used to walk in the church and just come in and say, thank God, that's so good to be here. Now you're not even faithful on Wednesday night, Sunday night. And you hit and miss. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, we're too close to the end, folks. Oh, help us, God, to be faithful. Oh, I pray, Lord, your precious will be done as we conclude this service tonight. God, I want to tell you from my heart, I don't want to faint. Lord, I don't want to forget. Lord, I don't want to falter and fail. Lord, I don't want to become feeble. Lord, I don't want to become one who fails in the grace of God. And a report card come out, and on that report card it says, grace of God, F. Oh, God, I want to pray. I want a good grade, not for my glory, but for your glory. I owe it to you, Lord. I love you. I want to serve you. I'm looking for you. I'm listening for the shout. And God, would you help us? Oh, help every heart. Would you just pray out of your heart right where you are? Would you just say, Lord, this message is for me. It's for me, folk. I preach this. Listen to me. Oh, how I need this tonight. Whatever God spoke to your heart about, would you just tell the Lord about it? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll help you in your situation. God bless you.